This is WMUK's West Southwest. I'm Gordon Evans. 2014 was another expensive year for Michigan politics. The race for governor was the second most expensive ever. There were records set for spending on the races for Attorney General, Michigan House, and the 20th State Senate District in Kalamazoo County. The Michigan Campaign Finance Network has broken down the financing of last year's elections in a Citizen's Guide to Michigan Campaign Finance 2014. Rich Robinson is Executive Director of the Michigan Campaign Finance Network. Thank you for being with us.
Good to be with you, Gordon. Thanks.
You say that the independent groups, these outside groups, outspent the candidate campaign committees in 2014. So how much would you say the campaign was really driven by these outside groups as opposed to the actual candidate campaign committees?
Well, in many cases, very heavily. In the gubernatorial, for example, Mark Schauer's campaign committee raised and spent a little over $7 million, but independent groups, mainly the Democratic Governors Association, spent another $20 million supporting his campaign. Governor Snyder had a very healthy campaign committee of $14 million, but between the Republican Governors Association and the Michigan Republican Party, they exceeded what he spent. And the examples are everywhere. The Republican candidates for the Michigan Supreme Court, between them raised, or among the three of them, raised a little over $2.5 million. But the Michigan Republican Party and a group called Center for Individual Freedom spent over $4.5 million on television. The outside spending was significant in the Attorney General campaign. And in the legislative races, you know, the money in the competition is overwhelmingly focused in just a handful of races. In the top five most expensive Senate races, that was about 40% of the money. But it also included probably 85% of the independent spending, and it was a similar ratio in the Michigan House as well. So wherever there's competition, and that, at least in the legislative context, that's a pretty narrow field of competition, the outside spenders are a heavy presence, often overriding what the candidates spend themselves.
Well, the 20th State Senate District here in Kalamazoo County was by far the closest race in the legislature. It ended up being settled by about 60 votes. And it was also the most expensive, where you would expect money to go where people expect to be able to influence the race. But how much of that price tag would you say in the 20th State Senate race between Margaret O'Brien and Sean McCann was driven up by independent expenditures?
Overwhelmingly, it was driven by the independent expenditures. In the 20th district race, Margaret O'Brien's campaign committee raised $970,000, but benefited also from $200,000 of in-kind contributions from the Senate Republican Campaign Committee and another $400,000 of independent expenditures. Sean McCann's campaign had less outside support. His campaign raised about a little over $800,000 and had just over $100,000 in independent support. So it was a lot of outside support and a lot of what the candidates raised, now Senator O'Brien in particular, a lot of that came in the form of contributions from leadership PACs that her colleagues, now colleagues in the Senate, had contributed to her campaign. So, you know, nominally, at least, the candidates' committees were the big part there. That wasn't the case in all of the most expensive, most competitive legislative races.
You wrote a piece for Bridge in which you called Michigan the dark money capital of American politics. What do other states do that Michigan should look at or model itself on?
Well, in a number of states, the kind of spending that we see in multi-million-dollar amounts for advertising that defines the suitability of a candidate for office but doesn't explicitly tell you to vote for or against that candidate, there are disclosure requirements for those kinds of ads. So there's accountability for the relationship between financial supporters and office holders, which becomes critical after Election Day. So we have a chance to connect the dots between large campaign contributions and considerations granted for the donors of those contributions. Ironically, we had a satisfactory statute for disclosure in Michigan. It was misinterpreted by Secretary of State Terry Land. And when the State Bar of Michigan asked Secretary Johnson to review that statute, she agreed that it had been misinterpreted and a lot of what was going on in Michigan campaigns could be required to disclose, and she intended to pursue that. Unfortunately, before that took place, the legislature, Republican legislators, to be more specific, acting without a single Democratic vote, changed the disclosure requirements, requiring the kind of magic words of express advocacy, vote for, vote against, and the like. So even though it's clear to any viewer what the point of these ads are, for the purposes of the state of Michigan, they don't exist as campaign activity. They are merely social welfare and public education.
You note that the Michigan Supreme Court campaign topped $10 million for the third consecutive election cycle. Judicial campaigns have been a particular focus of your group. What is it that makes judicial campaigns so expensive, and how come we know so little about who contributes to the campaigns for these various candidates for state Supreme Court?
Well, why it matters is that I've heard it said by operatives on both sides of the political aisle that it's easier to count to four than it is to count to 76. That is, 76 being the number of legislators it takes to pass a bill. And the point of that remark being that interpreting the law can be just as powerful as writing the law. Now, we've had throughout this century this unfortunate tradition of party administrative accounts buying advertising, again, defining the suitability of the candidates for office, but without explicitly saying vote for or against the candidate. So this creates a situation, or at least the potential for a situation, where you have a donor with a high-stakes appeal in front of the court, where that donor's opponent in litigation could be justifiably positioned to request a recusal of one of the judges because he shouldn't be hearing a case involving his campaign supporter, but because of lack of knowledge of who the donors actually are, that opportunity never comes up. And so you may have people being deprived of their due process right to an impartial court hearing simply because the litigants don't know who the donors actually were. And I think that undermines general trust and confidence in the impartiality of the courts.
So we are, at this point, pretty much full-blown into the 2016 election cycle, if not the 2016 election year just yet. Based on all that you've compiled and all the trends that you see in campaign spending, is it just likely to continue on an upward trajectory in terms of what is spent, and at best a flat line in terms of what we know by Election Day in terms of who's contributing to what?
Well, I think the trajectory for spending will be up. I think particularly that's going to be case for these non-party independent spenders. I think particularly in Michigan, this trend seems to be so deeply entrenched, their culture seems to be so deeply entrenched to accept this anonymous political spending that unless citizens become motivated to take this on as a ballot question, I don't see anything arresting that trend. In the federal environment, you know, we saw last election cycle independent spending, but I don't think it was anywhere near what we're going to see in this presidential. You know, if we look back to our 2014 U.S. Senate race, the independent spenders there grossly overspent or spent more than the candidates did, Gary Peters and Terry Land, through their candidate committees. I'll see that kind of a pattern taking shape in the presidential election as well.
Rich Robinson, as always, thank you for your time.
Thank you, Gordon.
Rich Robinson is Executive Director of the Michigan Campaign Finance Network. A link to the network's Citizen's Guide to the 2014 elections can be found at wmuk.org. This is WMUK's West Southwest. I'm Gordon Evans.